Greetings, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, today I want to talk about what is modest and compare modest to what biblical really is. So let's read 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So this translation in God's word, using our modern day words, tells a woman to wear modest apparel. And most people take that at face value and they don't dig any deeper to see what that really means. And they'll say, well, I try to dress modest, but I'm going to show you what the dictionary's definition of modest is, and then we'll see if it lines up to what God's word really means. So let's dig into this. Definition of modest for today is dressing or behaving so as to avoid impropriety or indecency, especially to avoid attracting sexual attention. Not revealing or emphasizing the figure. Not showing off too much skin. So basically, the word modest is in reference to something not being sexual or showing off the body in such a way. So by their theology, let's look at what their theology is. The person who says, well, I just dress modest, and they use their own subjective thoughts on what that is. You're going to get somebody who says, well, jeans are more modest than shorts. And the person wearing shorts is going to say, well, shorts are more modest compared to a swimming suit. And the woman who wears a one-piece swimming suit will say, well, it's more modest than a bikini. And the one in the bikini is going to point over to the people in the culture that live in the tropics and say, well, I'm more modest than they are. So basically, by this theology, all those pieces of clothing are modest. It's subject to their own interpretation and their own reference, their own relativity in this life. And that's not what God does. He doesn't allow us to just compare it to the culture, compare it to our neighbor. God's word says what it says, and we need to follow what that is. Our God is not an author of confusion. And by reading modest apparel and just going with that, that causes confusion. Let's look at the Greek words behind that and the deeper meanings. So we're going to read 1 Timothy 2 again, just so we know. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So modest in the Greek means orderly, of good behavior, seemingly well arranged. That doesn't sound really much of anything like the word modest today does. And apparel in the Greek means lowering, let down, robe, or we call it a dress, or that could also be a long skirt with a long shirt. And just as a side note, our Savior's coming back in a robe. All right, so now we're going to put the real meaning of those two words in 1 Timothy 2:9. I'm going to read that again and put the meaning of the words in there and eliminate modest apparel. So you'll see what it really says. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in orderly, well-arranged, of good behavior, long robes or dresses with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now that tells us what to wear. That's pretty easy. That's not confusing. Now we're also going to go a little bit further on the adornment, which is within that verse also. So women are to adorn themselves in orderly, well-arranged, of good behavior, long robes and dresses. Amen, sisters? We're also to adorn ourselves with shamefacedness and adorn ourselves in sobriety. And it goes on to say what we're not to adorn ourselves with. We are not to adorn ourselves with broided hair. We're not to adorn ourselves with gold or pearls or any such thing like that. We're not to adorn ourselves in costly array. So God's word gives us this idea of what we're not supposed to adorn ourselves. Now, there's some translations that say the word merely. Oh, let me back up a minute. 1 Peter 3 also echoes all of this, and I can't remember which one it is. I have to look it up, but off the top of my head, this just popped in while I'm talking to you. There's the word merely. Don't merely adorn yourself. That word is not technically supposed to be in the scriptures. It's italicized. Somebody's added that in. So anybody who uses that word merely in order to justify a little bit of adornment, it's unbiblical. I suggest you go do your research on that. We can help you with that if you want. So we clearly see that women are to dress in unadorned, plain, neat, orderly, well-arranged, long dresses, in shamefacedness and sobriety. So I encourage you to put that in your mind. Biblical dresses. not modest clothing, because they're not the same. Or modest apparel is not the same as biblical clothing. You see where I'm trying to go with this? It's a mindset too. So if we try to understand the depth of modest and not use that and use biblical instead, that gives us more of a concrete proof of what we're supposed to be doing. So I also want you to understand, you know, while I'm talking about this clothing issue, we have articles after articles. We have tons of articles on head covering and dress that explain deep into the scriptures what and why and how and what God's word says about it. I suggest you go there. We can send you the links if you can't find them. But I wanted to tell you in this audio that I want you to understand that clothing is a sin covering. And because of sin, that's why we wear clothes. It's not to adorn ourselves. It's not to look fashionable. It's not a good thing that we have to wear clothing. They're sin covering. So if you put that in your mind, that will help you frame what we're supposed to be wearing. And I want to read Genesis 3:21. Why these are sin coverings. We know Adam and Eve sinned, and they tried to cover themselves with aprons. God saw that was not enough and did it himself. Genesis 3:21, unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So if you want to look at what the Hebrew meaning of coats is, it's tunics or robes. Basically what us women are supposed to be wearing today. And men are to wear tunics, but I'm not going to go into a teaching on that. Brother Jim has that. And in order to get those skins of robes, God had to kill an animal and shed blood, which is an archetype of Christ covering us, which is a beautiful thing. Brother Jim has in-depth teachings on that as well. So God covered our body. And remember this, our body, if we're claiming to be of Christ, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're truly born again and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not your own. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know ye that not your body... Wait, let me start again. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So Paul's saying, your temple, your body is of the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. It's of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God. And we don't have the authority to clothe the temple of the Holy Spirit in the manner that we pick. Why? Because we're not our own. And we were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we clearly see that God can command, not suggest, he commands that we cover the temple of the Holy Spirit in the way he wants. It's no different than what he did in the Old Testament. He clearly laid out exactly how he wanted the temple to be built. Today, he lays it out how he wants us to cover the temple that the Holy Spirit resides in, which is our body. Amen? So if you're not digging in the scriptures of how to be a godly woman, both inside and out, and obeying it, I suggest you check your heart and see if you truly are born again, because a daughter of God would do such things. Amen, sisters? A true godly woman is going to be seeking to find out what she can be doing and not making excuses as why she's not. So in wrapping this up, if you're not biblically clothing yourself, sisters, I urge you to quickly repent, because now that you know the truth, you're going to be held accountable for it. So I suggest you go seek the scriptures and obey the Most High God who gave himself for you. What an awesome, awesome gift that he has given to us. And I also encourage you to change your mindset and the vocabulary, once again, from biblically dressed and away from modest apparel. That will help you frame it. That will also help you when you're discussing this with other godly women. So I want to put this in here as a warning. If you think this is no big deal and God is all grace and love, go read Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, who were killed by God for a lie. And this was after grace had come. So if you think, oh, if I don't wear a head covering, oh, if I don't wear a dress, whoop-de-doo, it's no big deal. Go tell that to Ananias and Sapphira for a lie. Every word of the mouth of God, that's what we're supposed to follow. Let's read 2 Thessalonians, I always mess that up, 1:7-9. This is Brother Jim's verse. He used it out on the street. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So let's keep that in mind, sisters. Obeying the gospel includes obedience and not just faith and belief, right? True faith produces works. of obedience as fruit. James 2 tells us that. Let's read James 2. I believe I have verses 17 and 18. I got my numbers mixed up, but I'm going to read it and you can... Nope, this is verse 17 through 24. I got it. Hey, just bear with me, sisters. This is just me. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. We get so many people, oh, it's just faith and belief. You all know this, I'm not going to go into it. That's a lie. Let's read verse 24 again. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So sisters, if you don't have the works to back up your faith, you don't have a saving faith. So now that you've been taught the truth, I want to encourage you to do your own studies, all right? Seek the Lord and repent. Get your entire life in line of a godly woman like the Word instructs you to. Otherwise, you may be left outside the gates. I'm going to leave you with this, Revelation 22, 14 and 15. I use this verse a lot, so does Brother Jim on the streets. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. Now those are all pretty bad. And here's one more. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know that word modest in today's vocabulary and reference is a lie, sisters. I don't want you believing that modest clothing, what the false teachers teach you, and what those people out there who want to make excuses for their sin teach you. I want you to believe the truth. So go do your digging on this, and I urge you to repent and obey. And in the next audio, I want to talk about what it's like to dress biblical. So until then, have a joyous day, sisters. And may God be praised.